A local researcher has been awarded a prestigious medal for her work in radio astronomy. Associate Professor Natasha Hurley-Walker from the Curtin University node of the International Centre for Radio Astronomy Research has been named the 2025 recipient of the Nancy Millis Medal. The award recognises her incredible work in mapping the universe in radio colour, discovering mysterious new space signals, and for her outstanding contribution to research and leadership as a woman in science. To tell us more about the award and her work, we're joined by Associate Professor Natasha Hurley-Walker. Thank you so much for joining me on The Record this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me, Fiona.
So congratulations on being named the recipient of the Nancy Millis Medal. How does it feel to be named the winner?
Oh, it's a tremendous honour. I am so excited. This is a national award by the Australian Academy of Science. So it's just incredible. I mean, I'm being named amongst 22 scientists this year for all sorts of achievements. I mean, and when I look at the CVs and I look at the accomplishments of all of these wonderful scientists, oh, it's just incredible. Absolutely fabulous.
And the award recognises women scientists for their outstanding contribution to research and leadership. What does that mean to you that your passion has been recognised in such a significant and really cool way?
Well, it's just huge for me because I moved here to Australia about 13 years ago, and I moved here to work on this big mega project. Some listeners might have heard of the Square Kilometre Array, which is this huge radio telescope that we're trying to build here. And, you know, in this time, we haven't quite finished building the telescope. So I've been doing all sorts of work with the precursor telescopes to the SKA. So these are telescopes that we design as like technology demonstrators. They're not as powerful, but you can use them for some great science. And in that journey, I've made a map of the entire southern sky across all the colors of the radio wavelengths. And that was the first time that was ever done. And that's gone into international documentaries. We had a wonderful VR documentary at Bula Bardet the last couple of years called Beyond the Milky Way. So that's been really fabulous. And then not only that, I've used this telescope to discover a new kind of repeating radio source that is still mysterious and basically has created this sort of international race to try and figure out what these kind of signals are. So it's just been so incredible to go from, you know, this young person just finished my PhD, moved to Australia, who knows what will happen, and it's such a land of opportunity to have turned this into world-class research and then to be recognized for the work that I've done using these telescopes. Oh, yeah, it's just an unreal feeling. It's amazing.
And you're one of our leading radio astronomers here in WA. It must be really exciting for you to see the SKA slowly but eventually being built, and then I guess thinking about the opportunity that might give you with your research.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, a really lovely story recently. So I don't know if anyone listening might have seen, but they had the very first picture from the SKA. So
yes.
This is the first time we had the elements of the telescope working together to actually observe the sky properly, and you could see the radio sources. And that came out in a press release. That was lovely. I hope everybody saw that. It's, you know, very basic image because it's a very small part of the telescope that's operational, but it'll get better. But what was wonderful for me was that they took that image and they cross-matched, which is to say they looked at the comparison of those sources that they found with the work that we've done with the Murchison Wide Field Array, that precursor instrument, and they found that it matched exactly.
Oh,
so basically,
wow.
We have done the work and we have created the model of the sky that the SKA can now use to test whether it's working properly. And that was one of the big goals when I moved here, was to contribute to that kind of, you know, checking whether the telescope could actually meet what it needs to do. And of course, the SKA will get bigger and it will get more sensitive. But that fundamental test of, like, do we actually know that it's looking at things correctly? We can now do that because of my work. So I'm absolutely thrilled.
And to think it could do that with such a small portion of its functionality even working, imagine what it could do once it's fully operational.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the nice thing about these things that I work on, these interferometers, is that they are lots of little telescopes, and we combine the signals together to make one massive telescope. And that's kind of modular. You can just keep adding more and more antennas, and it just gets more and more powerful. So the one cool thing that the FKA will do that we absolutely can't do at the moment is it will have very far separations between its antennas. And what that gives us is a very high resolution on the sky. So at the moment, beautiful as my maps are, there are a lot of little blobs in them that, you know, they just look like little dots. But with the SKA, we'll start to resolve all of the structure. And instead of just seeing a little dot, you'll see the details of the galaxy or the two huge clusters smashing into each other, that kind of thing. So that plus relativity, oh, we're going to have a good time.
You're listening to On the Record, and we're joined by Associate Professor Hurley Walker, and we're chatting about her research and being awarded the Nancy Millis Medal. Now, we've both mentioned that you use data to map the southern sky in radio colour. Could you explain what radio colour is?
Sure. So when radio telescopes were first invented, they could only observe at either a single frequency or a very, very narrow range of frequencies. But the thing is that objects in our sky, they produce different frequencies of light, right? Like if you look at Betelgeuse carefully in the constellation of Orion, you'll see that it's got a reddish color, and that's because it's a supergiant star that's in the last phases of its life. It's got this more light being produced at those low optical wavelengths, is what I might say. It's more red than blue. That color of the star tells you something about the physics of the star, for instance, that is a supergiant. If you see a very hot blue star like Sirius, which is just, east of Orion, then you'll notice that it's very hot and blue. That's because it's a young star that's just very, very massive. So you can tell these things about stars based on their color to our eyes. Well, radio color is like that, but in the radio light. So nowadays we can build telescopes with lots of different radio frequencies. And I was the first person to map the whole sky, at least the southern sky, you can see with Australia, across a huge range of these different frequencies. And what I did was I put those radio frequencies, you know, transposed them up into a color map so that we can see it with our eyes. And from that, we can get details of the colors, not just of stars, but of galaxies. And that's how that work became quite transformative. It tells us about the ages of supermassive black holes in galaxies, millions to billions of light years away. Just from their color alone. So, yeah, it's a very cool piece of work. You might have seen it at Bulabadit, and we're hoping to have a new display there in the next couple of years. We've made a very nice video about the work with a student here at Curtin Uni.
When you created that map, as it was all coming together, were you immediately or already seeing things that you hadn't previously seen or things that kind of shed a light on what's going up there in our solar system?
Yeah, actually, you bring back a story. I remember when we were just putting together the first maps, I saw this little smudge in one of them, and I thought, that's very strange. There shouldn't really be a smudge there. Most of the things that we see are like little dots. So it was strange to see this kind of big, drawn-out smudge. And it turned out to be the remains of activity from a supermassive black hole in a galaxy just like our own. And that's kind of exciting because most galaxies have supermassive black holes at their center. Most of those are not active. And the ones that are active tend to be in like big, what we call elliptical galaxies. There are very few galaxies like ours, like a star-forming galaxy, that have these active supermassive black holes. And then using this telescope, I was able to find that actually there was one that had done this a few million years ago. And it had these great big plumes going out into space that nobody had expected because people didn't think our kinds of galaxies could do this. So that was just like the first discovery, and then these repeating radio signals that we found more recently.
Mind-blowing. I was going to say, I'm just imagining you as you're putting this together with a massive notepad of all these little things that you're like, oh, this could be something more I could research into.
You should see my whiteboard. Every time I come to draw something on it, I'm like, okay, right, I'm just going to draw in this corner, which isn't already covered in diagrams and equations and scrolls.
So how exciting is it for you to be involved and lead these discoveries?
Oh, it's really wonderful. You know, the best thing about working in science is that everybody brings different skills to the table. We've all got such diverse capabilities. I work with people who are experts in stars, experts in galaxies, experts in X-ray observations, optical, people who think deeply about theory, people who really like to code computers, all sorts of different skills to the table. And being in a leadership position, a lot of the time it's about making sure that you're bringing the right skills to the table and that everybody is enthusiastic about what they're doing and that they're all coordinated and working together. So I often find myself being the glue that kind of brings people together. And through that collaboration, we can accomplish something quite amazing.
And speaking of leadership, how do you hope this award and your research will encourage young women to get into STEM and radio astronomy?
Oh, well, I really do hope that, you know, young girls who are thinking about what they want to do in life. You know, when I was a little girl, I wasn't 100% sure that science was for me. I wanted to be an astronaut because I saw the first American female astronaut, Sally Ride, go into space when I was a kid. But I don't think I ever thought of myself as a scientist. And it was only when I went to university and I realized that I really wanted to do physics. And I started seeing the excitement of research, and I started meeting other women in research and realizing, oh, there's this whole like career that you can do where you can explore and create new knowledge. You can see things that nobody has ever seen before. And that is an actual opportunity that we have. And it has been so incredibly fulfilling and so wonderful. I mean, every time I make a new discovery, I hop out of my chair, I go find my colleagues. We're all, you know, excitedly discussing it together. And then I can't wait to bring it to the public to tell them about it. So it's really fulfilling to be like right at the boundaries of human knowledge. And so I hope with this award, I can, raise my profile, show other young women that this is a career, this is an opportunity that we can have. And, you know, historically, that hasn't always been the case for women. Nancy Millis, who the award is named after, when she graduated from the University of Melbourne, she was one of three women in a class of 200.
Wow.
So nowadays, the stats are a lot better. We're looking at sort of 70-30 to 50-50 in undergraduate physics. And it's actually more women than men in a lot of the science courses nowadays. So it's absolutely a career for women. We're just as good as the men, if not better at some things like being collaborative and maybe not having quite so much of an ego.
This morning we've been talking to Associate Professor Natasha Hurley-Walker, who's been named the 2025 recipient of the Nancy Millis Medal. Before I let you go today, what do you hope to achieve or learn next with your research?
Well, as I say, at the moment, I'm on the hunt for these mysterious repeating radio signals from space. So a couple of years ago, we found these objects that pulse every 20 minutes, every 30 minutes, every hour, all across the sky. We've gone from the first discovery we made 2 years ago. There's now about 12 of these things known. And we are just finding them every couple of months now. One of our telescopes will go ping, we've found a new one. Thing is, physics that we have doesn't really explain what could produce radio pulses like this. So every single one that we find is telling us a new story in terms of its radio properties, in terms of what we can find from other wavelengths. So that's kind of my focus of my research at the moment, but I'm very much hoping in the next 5 years the SKA is going to come online, and I don't want to say now what I think I'm going to do, because the wonderful thing about research is discovering the unexpected. So I hope in a few years' time you'll be calling me and I'll be telling you about something completely different.
Well, I wish you all the best, and as always, can't wait to have you back on the record and discuss all the new things you've been doing in your area. Associate Professor Hurley-Walker, thank you so much for joining me on the record today.
Thanks for having me, Fiona.
Thank you. That was Associate Professor Natasha Hurley-Walker from the Curtin University node of the International Centre for Radio Astronomy Research. She joined us to chat about her research and being named the 2025 recipient of the Nancy Millis Medal, which recognises women scientists for their outstanding contribution and research in research and leadership.